Welcome to What's the Story with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week, Jeanine Rizzo, an intellectual property lawyer who's here to discuss how to protect story ideas. So tell us a little bit about being an intellectual property lawyer.
Okay, hello Monique, and hello to all your listeners. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity today to be present on your programme. So yes, I am an intellectual property lawyer. I do various things in intellectual property law, which covers trademarks, patents for inventions, design rights and copyright, which is what we are here to discuss today. We're going to be talking about how to protect your story idea, you said.
Your story idea or your book once you've started to create.
And I asked this question rather cheekily because you cannot protect ideas. Ideas of themselves cannot be protected. And that is established by international conventions, i.e. international law, which says that the ideas of them by and of themselves cannot be protected. And it is the expression of the idea that is protected. And therefore, once you start writing your book, you have a certain type of protection which applies. This type of protection is copyright.
Okay. So you said about once you start expressing, once you start writing. Who knows you've started writing?
Oh, that's a $1 million question. Well, let's see. So what the law tells you is that you have different categories of works which attract copyright protection, once they are fixed and once they are original. Now, in Malta and in most countries, original does not mean unique. Original means that it originates from the author. Okay, so it comes from you. Now, you've started writing your first draft or final draft. Any draft is protected by copyright in and of itself. So anything that you write is protected by copyright. It is classified as a literary work. There are different categories of work, but for today's purposes, we are talking about literary works because this is where a book falls, or a script, for example, even for a radio program. Not like this one, though. Or for a film. Plays, poems, you name it, as long as it's written, it will, even computer software programs are considered literary works because they are written. Okay. They are written in a code. Now, in our case, we're talking about books. They are written, and once they are written in whichever format, in pencil, on paper, digitally, etc., you attract copyright protection to that work. As we said, the $1 million question is, how do I prove what I've written and on what date? And why is this the $1 million question? It's because by international law, copyright is automatic. You do not need any registration, you could say.
Okay.
You do not need any registration to obtain protection on your work. Unlike a trademark, for example, where you have to go and apply to the office where you want your trademark to be registered, you will have to apply and obtain registration. With copyright, it's completely inexistent. The element of registration is completely inexistent, and it was done away with, if I'm not mistaken, in 1881 in the Berne Convention.
So quite a long time ago.
Yes, a very long time ago. And it was internationally agreed that copyright should be automatic, i.e. does not need registration, as we were saying. That is why we have this $1 million question. Because I don't register the copyright, what do I need to do?
That's it. If I've half written a book and it's just stayed on my computer, and then I've talked about this book that I've never finished, and somebody else overhears the conversation, for example, and writes the book and publishes it, I can...
You could try and sue them, and you should show the link for copyright infringement, obviously, and you should try to find the link with them knowing your work because you had spoken to them, so you try and find witnesses from that conversation or, I don't know, a paper trail via email and show that you have written your text well before they have. Now, that's the difficulty. That's the difficulty here. How do I show this? Now, there are different countries, such as the US, which have created copyright registers. It does not mean that in order to obtain copyright, you register your product there. It just acts as a rubber stamping kind of date giving entity, which tells you, yes, once your book, script, whatever, let's call it work, is deposited with them, you get a certificate or a document saying that whatever it is was deposited by you on such and such a date. And that is the probative value. You want the proof of the date, the evidence of date. Now, that's in certain countries. Malta does not have this yet. I know that it is being discussed, but we still don't have a copyright register. So what do we do?
Especially if you're planning for your work not necessarily to be used in Malta, it might be a book that you want to publish internationally. Do you go through this process locally or you go through this process internationally?
Well, you could even say it's a... internationally in a way, because a lot of people used to say send it to yourself via email. So would it be a local kind of answer or an international answer, since email has no boundaries? I don't agree with it. Why? Because anybody can tamper with the time stamp on an email.
Yes.
So I really do not advise clients to send things to themselves via email. You could do it as one of the different ways in which you kind of build a dossier of proof, in inverted commas, we could call this proof, showing the date on which you have created this. You could also, for example, take print screens of the properties when you run, on your computer, you're using Windows, you can look at the properties box on the document and try and take a print screen of that. Some people also used to send it to themselves via registered mail, but I've heard a few horror stories over there about needing the chit that you get in the registered mail, and then it's either lost or the records are no longer kept because a lot of time has passed, etc., etc., etc. So what happens? Some service providers, such as ourselves, we offer a copyright deposit service where you can deposit your... Much like the way we said that copyright registers exist in other countries. Obviously, we are not an official register, as in it is not backed by the state or anything of the sort, but... You know, you have to find a independent provider who can help you with this sort of thing. Some people use bank safety deposit boxes, for example. And
they deposit literally a version of their work in the deposit box and have a receipt.
That's right.
Okay.
So you'll have a receipt of when you've deposited the work there in the records of the bank. So you have an independent third party kind of saying, yes, this is a date. This is the date on which you have deposited the manuscript, etc., etc. Some people submit it to a notary, but obviously you would have to ask the notary to keep this private and not publish it, just publish the fact that they received a manuscript or something from this person, because notarial archives are also searchable. So there are certain procedures you would have to go through, asking the notary to keep the document itself private. Most notaries will be happy to assist in that way. Or there are lawyers such as ourselves who help by receiving and never opening packages which include manuscripts and photographs of artwork and of sculptures, for example, poems, software.
So it should be the finished article that gets sent to the copyright deposit?
It depends really and truly. If you want to send drafts, you could do so. And if you want to send drafts and a finished article, you can do so. Or if you want to wait until it's a finished article, you can do so too. It really depends on your process, I would say. You were saying, for example, it might be a work in progress and I haven't touched it for years. You know what? Let's be safe. Play it, you know, play it safe and send it on to, I don't know, a bank or a notary or a lawyer. If you've got a deposit box in a bank, then you might be able to deposit more than one thing there. Because it's you know, it can contain a number of items.
What if you had an idea for a film that then you knew some of the characters, there were some descriptions, there was just a structure, there was no actual words?
I do encourage clients to do that. You have to be very careful, though, because if we're just talking about character names and, I don't know, let's think of the Harry Potter franchise and we're just talking about names and the names of the place, like Hogwarts and... the names you're giving people or the wizarding kind of elements, then it might be too little to attract copyright protection because, well, jurisprudence, laws and authors have all discussed how for a work to attract copyright protection, it needs to have a little bit of substance.
there was a famous case involving the name Exxon. It's a famous company.
Yes.
And some other company named itself Exxon. So they sued them, not on trademark infringement, where, you know, names of companies is usually the realm of trademark law. They sued them on copyright infringement, and they said, you know, it's an invented word, Exxon, that it does not appear in the dictionary. It may now, thanks to the...
the
multinational being so famous. But they went after them on copyright infringement, and they lost. And the judge, in his decision, had said, well, it's because Exxon on its own is too little to attract copyright protection, even though it is an invented word. Then we've had discussions about, for example, made-up words such as supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and whether that would attract copyright protection, because it is a word, but it's quite a mouthful of a word.
Yes,
and there are different schools of thought about that. And more recently, there's a judgment by the Court of Justice of the European Union, which involved newspaper articles and news reports, which of the nature are short. They are not tomes. Recent developments have created longer articles, but usually newspaper articles, news articles are short. And the Court of Justice of the European Union said that a string of 11 words,
okay,
was enough, well, which was copied, was enough to constitute copyright infringement. So we went from one word being too little to a question mark on what is sufficient. And now we kind of have a little bit of an idea with this 11 word standard, you could call it, but I would be careful to say a list of names would be sufficient to attract copyright protection. However, if the list of names is accompanied by a bit of a synopsis or a plot, which is really particular, and you put it all together and you keep it secret and send it, as we said, either to a bank, to a notary, to a lawyer, then I think we could get somewhere.
So, seeing as you don't actually open the envelope,
mm-hmm,
how do you know that it's copyrightable? Or do you get sent,
yes,
two copies? There's one that's in a sealed envelope.
No, I don't get sent two copies. I've never asked for that. What I do personally, as a professional, is that I usually speak to the client before, so they tell me what it's all about, mm-hmm, and they tell me it's, for example, the script or the manuscript for a book, the script for a play, or a series of artworks which are going to be the subject of the next exhibition, for example, that sort of thing. And I say, okay, very good. And we help them put together a letter in which they identify themselves. They discuss the work and what it is, so we know what kind of work it is classified as, i.e. literary work, artistic work, musical work, etc., okay, etc. And they also discuss in this letter how long they've been working on this work. So if it's been a work in progress for 10 years, or if it's something they've been working on for the past few months, that also helps in establishing the timeline. Because as we said, the most important and maybe the most difficult thing is establishing the correct timeline. Because then if somebody copies you, how do you prove that yours is first?
And how do you know that somebody else hasn't created the similar works?
You
perhaps
have
before,
to,
if you
to,
just wait until something, whoever gets the publication first.
Well, usually, well, if you're asking me how do I know that my client is the first, we take our client's word for
their originality.
That it's theirs.
There's
that
no
the work
searching.
Is theirs.
You
no,
can't search
we can't
against
search.
The other copyright
there's
registers because there's no detail
that's
of...
That's right. There's no register that is searchable in such a way.
Okay.
And even if there were a register, there might be something which is not on the register, which existed before.
True.
So you don't know. And one thing we failed to say, and which is important that we say now, is that copyright is one of the longest lasting intellectual property rights because it lasts the lifetime of the author and 70 years after they die.
Okay.
So that's very long. And because there is no registration, then where do you start searching? Not only is there no registration, international conventions have given what is called the rule of reciprocity. So
that's quite a word.
Yes. If you're in Malta, you're based in Malta, and you create a work which is protected by copyright, by the Maltese Copyright Act, and because Malta is a party to the Berne Convention and other international conventions, other countries who are party to these international conventions, and they are practically worldwide, all countries in the world are parties to the Berne Convention or to the TRIPS Agreement, which are the main two international conventions on the subject, will give your work copyright protection in those countries. So they give reciprocal treatment to the work in their countries. So if Malta grants copyright to the text I've written, it's also protected in France, in Ireland, in Brazil, Vietnam.
Okay, so pretty much a global.
Pretty much global. Okay. So that's why it's even more difficult to search for something that's existed before, because how am I going to search through the records of Brazil, for example?
And all of the world.
It would be too time consuming.
And what about the costs associated with protecting your work in this way?
It varies according to the service provider that you choose, I would say.
100 euros, 1,000 euros, is it something it's...
Well, I don't know what the going rate is for a bank deposit box at the moment, but with us it isn't more than a couple of 100 euro or 100 euro.
And you would advise doing various methods, or once you're in one, you've deposited in one location?
I usually advise various methods of differing degrees. So I'd say if you still have it and it still exists, burn a disk at home, like a CD at home, mm-hmm. which is not rewritable, for example. Try and hold on to that as much as you can. Send it to us, or if you know a notary, deposit with the notary.
I hope the technology doesn't change.
That's why, because that's exactly the point with the CD, in fact. Print it out and try and print some timestamps or whatever it is that you can print, or, I don't know, include a cover page from a newspaper. I don't know. Yeah, you need to really try, get creative. I know it sounds really rudimental and not sophisticated at all. Excuse me, dear listeners. But we try and find different ways in which you can keep on, you know, compiling this package to show time.
It's like your alibi.
Yes, right.
Your idea,
that's exactly it.
Okay.
Tell a friend, you know, make sure they remember, send the friend an email, say I'm writing this book.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Monique Chambers and Janine Rizzo on What's the Story? So, but if somebody's had an idea that's half written for 5 years or 10 years, for example, do you say, is it really worth copywriting at that stage? Or do you think if they were going to finish it, they really should have found the time by now?
No, I wouldn't be so harsh. But as I said, it would be already protected by copyright, because copyright is automatic. As soon as whatever is written, it's protected by copyright. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think that this is a project which is worth investing in, do it. Contact a lawyer, contact a notary, get about sending it to them for copyright's sake. I would also say, if you are an author and you're going to be published and you're already tied in to a publisher, that already helps in proving date, because you have the third party who is the publisher involved. Okay.
So even you will have obviously started writing it beforehand, you will approach a publisher, they will tell you to continue with the book.
That's right. And that all, as we said, contributes to the alibi.
And then is it down to the publisher to protect your rights?
No, as well, it depends on the contract of the publisher. You have agreements where you retain the copyright, and the publisher will then have the publishing right to publish the book, and then the rights to the format and the font and the layout of the book as it is published. there are other agreements whereby the publisher takes on your copyright, but usually there is a monetary or financial compensation that's attached to that, and usually that could happen with foreign publishers more than Maltese publishers themselves. Maltese publishers are usually generally very fair. And therefore, if there is a transfer of the copyright to the publisher, then the publisher will take care of all your rights, running after presumed or alleged infringers, etc., etc. But if you are still the owner of the copyright, then it's all in your hands.
Okay.
Again, you might have help from the publisher in targeting certain infringers or instituting legal action against certain types of infringers. So,
and what happens the other way around if you've plagiarized somebody's work completely? It could be somebody in one of the jurisdictions.
If they find out, then you open yourself up to a suit.
So.
not very pleasant times ahead, I'm afraid.
No, just thinking, so if the publisher has bought the copyright and then you turn out to have been a fraudster.
It would generally be a term in your publishing agreement whereby you should be warranting to the publisher that you have not plagiarized anybody's work.
More than 11 words.
That's right. and that if somebody does institute legal proceedings against the publisher, you will indemnify the publisher. It's usually part of a publishing agreement.
Contract. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what can happen if you don't protect your work and... You know, you don't have any of these alibis, you haven't deposited.
As we said, because copyright is automatic and it exists immediately, your problem, well, not problem, it's not a problem, I wouldn't say a problem, your difficulty will be in proving that you have created the work before the person who has copied you. And in proving that the person who has copied you and not has come to...
Similar.
Up with the same idea, you know, without knowing you, because that is one of the defenses in the copyright laws, which is that we both might have come to the same, up with the same idea, and therefore written the same kind of book. But I mean, there's ways and ways, as in we both write a book in which boy meets girl and the families hate each other and then they fall in love anyway is one thing.
It's pretty routine.
Exactly. But if you're going to write Harry Potter all over again, that's pretty specific, I would say. So it will always depend on the facts of the case.
And are there any
standard answer.
Are there any other famous examples of stories that were plagiarised, or whether it be musical, books, plays,
have enough time on you.
No.
Yes, and there have been songs in the news recently with, Pharrell Williams and the guy who wrote Blurred Lines, I forget his name. They had to pay Marvin Gaye's family for plagiarism there. Really and truly, in the copyright world, we say everything is inspired by what has come previously. So it depends on the difference between your work and what has come previously, really and truly.
And whether you choose to take it as enormous flattery.
Yes,
or as
also
an, or
true.
An enormous insult.
Also very true. You find a lot of people who are very blasé, you know, about, oh, but yes, it was somebody else's idea and I really like it and I'm going to, you know, improve on it. And then they say, oh, you know what, hands off my work. You can't do anything with my work. You can't be inspired by my work. So there is a bit of that kind of double standard going on with some people. So you really need to, you know, say, okay, you know what? This is my work and that's it. And if somebody copies it, then we'll see.
Good luck to them if they get to the publisher
then we'll
before
see.
Me.
Because it depends. Sometimes there are really bad instances of copying. So you'd really want to have to do something to stop them. Although then now we're in the realm of fan fiction a lot, aren't we? Now, and
yes,
the most famous example being Fifty Shades of Grey,
yes,
as
yes.
fan fiction from Twilight.
Yeah.
So, could Twilight's author say that Fifty Shades of Grey is a copy of Twilight? No, he doesn't say so.
In real life suburbia, instead of fantasy life suburbia.
Exactly. So.
Anyway, talking of Fifty Shades of Grey, tell us about one of your favourite books, just to round off the programme.
Oh, God, I don't know. I think it's The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Ah, yes?
Yes.
Do you read it often, or you read it once and it just stayed?
No, I've read it more than once, and I revisit it sometimes, but I won't read the whole
thing over and over. Especially
the 5 books, is it now? Ooh. It used to be a trilogy in 4 parts, I remember, cheekily. But I think there was an extra one then added on, in fact. And I just revisit parts of it sometimes.
And what are you actually reading at the moment?
I am one of those horrible people who juggles books. I am reading John Cleese's autobiography, and I am reading... Well, I've started Kerouac's On the Road.
Okay.
I know, it's very different things. And, I'll stop there. And I have another book about the Holocaust and art looted by the Nazis at the moment, which is one of the areas I work in and I studied while I was abroad. So I keep that going as a personal interest,
yes.
and even personal interest, yes, of mine. So juggling books, as I said.
Well, that's fantastic. It's,
thank you very much.
Much more interesting, I think, than just reading one. You can mix up your characters.
Yes, and your storylines.
Well, I'd really like to thank you, Janine, for joining us today and talking
to
us about intellectual property and copywriting of books and works.
Thank you.
We look forward to continuing the series.
Thank you very much.